This episode covers how to bring up desire changes after 40. You're awake at 2 a.m., going over a conversation you haven't had yet. What you're getting here is the one sequence that changes how this conversation goes, and five scripts for the moments that come with it. Most men in their 40s and 50s notice something shifting. The drive isn't quite where it was. The timing feels off. Maybe it's stress, maybe it's hormones, maybe it's medication. But whatever the cause, you haven't said anything to her. And the longer you stay quiet, the more she starts to write her own story about what the distance means. You're not pulling away from her. You're managing something you can't quite explain yet. But she doesn't know that. She sees the same physical signals she'd see if you weren't interested. You're less likely to initiate. You've pulled back from touch. You go to bed at different times. She's reading the behavior, not the biology. And she's drawing conclusions. This, the core problem, with silence around desire changes. She fills the gap with her best interpretation of the available evidence. And her best interpretation is often the most painful one, that you've lost interest in her, that she's no longer attractive to you, that something in the relationship has quietly ended. None of that is true. But without a conversation, it doesn't matter what's true. What matters is what she's concluding. The conversation you haven't had is already happening in her head. The instinct most men have is to manage this alone. Handle it. Figure it out. Then say something when there's something concrete to report. A fix, an answer, a plan. That instinct makes sense in most areas of life. In relationships, it backfires badly. Every week you wait, the distance accumulates. 6 months of unexplained withdrawal doesn't just create confusion. It creates a story. And that story usually has nothing to do with hormones or stress or a medication side effect. That story is, he doesn't want me anymore. That story, once rooted, is much harder to dislodge than the truth ever was to say. There's also this, the longer you wait, the higher the conversation stakes feel. A one-sentence observation a month ago becomes a high-stakes disclosure now, carrying all the weight of everything you didn't say in between. You've let it grow into something bigger than it needed to be. You're not going to fix this with one perfect conversation, but you can stop the story she's building from getting worse. And you can do that this week. Most men stumble in this conversation because they don't separate two things that need to be said independently. The first thing, I still want you. You're attracted to her. She matters to you. That hasn't changed. The second thing, my body isn't cooperating the way it used to. The drive has shifted. The timing is different. Sometimes the mechanics aren't working. That's a physiological reality, not a statement about her. When you conflate these two things, when you talk only about the physiological part without leading with the desire part, she hears the second thing and misses the first. She hears that something is broken and doesn't hear that she's still what you want. The sequence matters. You have to say, I want you before you explain that your body is getting in the way. Otherwise, she doesn't know what she's listening to. This one reframe changes everything about how the conversation goes. There's no perfect time for this, but there are better moments and worse ones. A low-key Sunday evening beats a Thursday night when you're both tired from the week. Bringing it up right before bed creates pressure. Bringing it up in a neutral moment, a car ride, a walk, sitting in the kitchen after dinner, gives her room to absorb without feeling cornered. Move one. Lead with the relationship, not the problem. Start by naming what you want for the two of you. Connection, closeness, honesty, before you say anything about what's changed. She needs to know this conversation is about building something, not reporting a malfunction. Move two. Name the change plainly, without catastrophizing it. Something has shifted for me lately, is more accurate, and less alarming than I think something is wrong with me. You're naming a reality, not announcing a diagnosis. Keep it factual and low-key. Move 3. Separate your desire from your body's behavior. This is the most important move. Say explicitly that the change is in your body, not in how you feel about her. She needs to hear this directly, not infer it. Move 4. Invite her in rather than briefing her. This isn't a press release. It's a conversation. After you say your piece, give her room. Ask how she's been experiencing things. Be ready to listen before you explain more. Move 5. Take the pressure off what comes next. End by naming that you're not expecting anything from her right now. You just didn't want to keep carrying this alone. That takes the weight of "what does he want from me" off her shoulders. Now let's get into the actual words. Script 1. The opening move for when you haven't said anything yet, and you want to start the conversation without it feeling like a medical briefing or an apology. Find a neutral moment when neither of you is rushed or tired. Sit down near her, not across the room, not in bed with the lights out. Make brief eye contact before you start. Say this: "There's something I've been wanting to say for a while. I've been putting it off because I wasn't sure how to say it." Just pause and let that settle. Then say, "I still want you. That hasn't changed. But my body hasn't been cooperating the way it used to, and I think you've noticed that without me explaining it. I didn't want to keep letting you fill in the blanks." Why it works: the opening line signals that something real is coming without alarming her. Leading with "I still want you" before the explanation means she hears your desire before she hears the problem. The last sentence acknowledges her experience without requiring her to confirm it. What happens next? She may go quiet. She may say, "I did notice," or ask a question. Give her space to respond. Don't rush to fill the silence with more explanation. Script 2. When she thinks it's about her. For when she says something like, "Is it me? Have I done something? Am I not attractive to you anymore?" Or she goes quiet in a way that tells you she's going there internally. Don't get defensive or rush to reassure. Stay calm and direct. This is the moment where clarity matters most. Say this: "No, it's not you. I want to be clear about that." Just hold eye contact. Don't qualify immediately. Then say, "What's changed is in my body. My drive, my energy, maybe my hormones. I honestly don't have the full picture yet, but none of that has anything to do with how I feel about you or how attracted I am to you." Why it works: starting with a clear no before any explanation cuts off the story she's building. The acknowledgement that you don't have the full picture is honest and takes pressure off both of you. It normalizes not having the answers yet. What happens next? She may soften. She may ask what you think is going on. That's a good sign. She's moved from self-protection to curiosity. Answer honestly with what you know, and be comfortable saying what you don't know yet. Script 3. After a moment that didn't go well. For when there was a moment of attempted intimacy that ended awkwardly. You weren't able to follow through, or the moment died before it started. You both went quiet and have been strange around each other since. Don't let this one sit for days. Bring it up the next day, or that evening when the moment feels safer. Don't make it heavier than it is. Say this: "I've been thinking about last night. I want to say something about it." Just keep your voice low and even. Then say, "That wasn't about you. My body didn't cooperate, and I got in my head about it. I didn't want you to spend the last 24 hours making up a story about what it meant." Why it works: naming it the next day takes the pressure off the loaded silence. The phrase "making up a story" is specific and accurate, and she'll often recognize herself in it. You're not asking for anything or making promises. You're just being present with her. What happens next? She may feel relieved. She may bring up what she was thinking. Be ready to hear her without immediately explaining or defending. Let her reaction be whatever it is before you respond. Script 4. Opening the bigger conversation. for when you've had the initial conversation and she received it okay. Now you want to actually talk about what you both want going forward. What intimacy looks like now, what matters to both of you, what you're both willing to experiment with. Don't do this on the same night as the first conversation. Give it a few days. Pick a moment when neither of you is stressed and there's no pressure around the topic. Say this: I've been thinking about our conversation the other day. I'd like to keep going, not to fix anything, just to understand each other better. Just pause for a moment, then say, what's been working for you? What do you miss? I'd rather know than guess. Why it works, I'd rather know than guess signals that you're genuinely curious and not just managing the situation. It invites her into an honest exchange without requiring her to have a prepared answer. The framing not to fix anything reduces the stakes considerably. What happens next? This is where real conversation can happen. She may share something vulnerable. Resist the instinct to immediately offer solutions. Ask more. Reflect back what you hear before you say anything about your own experience. Script 5, asking for patience while you figure it out. For when you're in the middle of getting things checked out, seeing a doctor, adjusting medication, tracking what's actually happening, you want her to know you're working on it without making it feel clinical or like a project. Keep this simple. You don't need to report every development. One check-in is enough for now. Say this: I'm not going to pretend I've got this figured out yet. I'm working on it. Just stay relaxed. This isn't a confession. Then say, what I do know is that I don't want us to stop being close while I sort it out. I'd rather be awkward and close than perfectly fine and distant. Why it works. The line awkward and close, then perfectly fine and distant names the real choice you're making. It tells her that closeness matters more to you than performance. That's what she needs to hear. Most women in long-term relationships will respond to honesty about effort far better than polished pretending. What happens next? She may move closer. She may say she's relieved you said something. Or she may say something complicated. Let that happen too. It's the beginning of real conversation, not the end of it. There are a handful of places where well-intentioned men derail this conversation. Knowing them in advance is worth more than any script. Leading with the problem instead of the desire. If your first sentence is about what's not working, she hears that her desirability is in question before she hears that you still want her. Reverse the order every time, turning it into a medical briefing. She doesn't need a clinical explanation right now. She needs to feel wanted and included, not briefed on a situation you've been managing solo. Keep it human. Apologizing repeatedly. One clear acknowledgement is honest. Multiple apologies start to feel like you're managing her reaction rather than talking to her. Say what needs to be said once and mean it, expecting her to immediately understand. She's been without context for weeks or months. She needs time to adjust to a new picture. Don't expect one conversation to undo what accumulated silence created. Avoiding the conversation entirely because the moment is never right. There is no perfect moment. There is the next reasonable one. That's enough. How you tend to handle uncomfortable conversations will shape how this one goes. If you tend to smooth things over and avoid rocking the boat, your instinct will be to say everything's fine before anything difficult surfaces. Push past that. The conversation feels risky because it is, but the alternative is 6 more months of accumulated distance. Say the hard sentence. If you tend to go quiet or pull back when things feel uncomfortable, you'll be tempted to stay in your head through this conversation, giving brief answers and waiting for it to be over. She'll read that as deflection. Commit to staying present verbally, even if it's just repeating back what she says. I hear you is not nothing. If you tend to push harder when you feel unheard, watch the instinct to explain more when she goes quiet. Her quiet isn't rejection. It's processing. Give her the 30 seconds she needs before you say anything else. Silence in this conversation is not a signal that it's failing. If you tend to get defensive when the conversation gets personal, She may ask questions that feel like they're questioning your adequacy. They're not. She's trying to understand. Try. That's a fair question. The honest answer is, I'm not sure yet. It's more disarming than any defense you could mount. How she tends to respond under emotional uncertainty will shape what she needs from you in this conversation. If she tends to pursue and push when she senses distance, she's probably been seeking an explanation for a while. This conversation will come as relief, but she may follow up with a lot of questions quickly. Don't interpret that as interrogation. She's trying to close the gap. Give her the explanation she's been looking for, one question at a time. I don't know yet, but I'll tell you when I do works. If she's gone quiet and stopped pushing in recent months, she may have decided the distance is permanent and adjusted accordingly. This conversation may catch her off guard. She might respond with less warmth than you'd hoped. That's not rejection. It's self-protection. She's waiting to see if this is real. Keep going anyway. Consistency over the next few weeks matters more than her response tonight. If she's always been lower key about emotional conversations, she may respond minimally and not give much verbal signal about how she's processing it. That's normal for her. Don't fill the silence with more talking. Give her 24 to 48 hours before you check back in. A simple how are you doing with what we talked about the next day is enough. If you've been the one more likely to pull back while she waits, she's probably seen this kind of opening before and is waiting to see if this time is different. Make the follow through as real as the conversation. An honest exchange followed by 3 weeks of silence will be worse than if you'd said nothing. What she needs is evidence that this is a new pattern, not a single moment. She might not respond warmly. She might go cold, or say something sharp, or just say okay, and leave the room. Here's what to do. Don't chase. You said something real. Give her the space to react to it. Pursuing her immediately after a difficult disclosure often makes things worse, not better. If she says something skeptical, why are you telling me this now? Or, this seems a bit convenient, don't defend the timing. Try. You're right to be skeptical. I should have said something sooner. I just didn't know how. If she turns it around and brings up her own experience of the distance, frustrations, feelings she's been carrying, let her. Don't interrupt to explain yourself. She's using the opening you created. That's a sign this is working, even if it doesn't feel like it right now. If the conversation stalls completely and she's not engaging, let it go for that night. Come back in a day or two. Try. I know that was a lot to take in. I'm still here if you want to talk more. Give her 48 to 72 hours before you try again if she doesn't circle back on her own. Here's what typically happens after this conversation. Not immediately, but in the days and weeks that follow. She stops building the wrong story. That's significant. The version of events she'd been running, that she's no longer attractive to you, that something in the relationship has silently ended, gets replaced by the actual truth. The relief that comes from that shift often shows up in her body before she says anything. Less tension when you're in the same room. More casual physical contact. You start finding your way back to closeness. This doesn't mean sex exactly like it used to be. It often means a different kind of intimacy. More talking. More presence. Less pressure. For a lot of couples, this becomes the beginning of a better kind of connection, not just a recovery from a difficult patch. You stop carrying it alone. The weight of managing this in secret is heavier than you probably realize. Once it's shared, you're dealing with a real situation together instead of two people reacting to incomplete information. Desire changes after 40 are common. What's less common is talking about them honestly. That's what you're doing. What's the one sentence I could say tonight without making it a confession? I still want you. That hasn't changed. She responded to you, even if what she said was hard, rather than going completely silent or shutting the conversation down immediately. You feel less alone with this than you did before you said anything. That's the actual measure tonight. If you want to go deeper on this, You'll find the links right in the guide where you got this audio, or head to the Two-Way Intimacy Library page and look for the same title. The full guide, playbook, and checklist are all available as free PDF downloads. The playbook walks you through the key steps in a format you can work through on your own. The checklist gives you a quick reference you can come back to before a conversation. I hope this helps.